This message was originally preached on September 21, 2025, entitled The Keys of the Kingdom from Matthew 16, verse 19. There was a technical problem with the recording, and so I'm repeating it in my office, and just so the listener would understand, this is not the original recording. Jesus gave Peter and the apostles authority and responsibility to begin building his church. And we desperately need to understand who we are as part of the church of Jesus Christ. We need to understand the authority and the responsibility that goes with the mission. And we must deny ourselves and follow Christ. If we want to be his disciples, we must deny ourselves, take up his cross, and follow him. Can we accept the keys to the kingdom? Can we afford to not accept the keys of the kingdom? Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. Everything I say in this message is dependent on the two previous messages from this scripture. I believe it will stand on its own, but it makes a bigger picture with the preceding work. So, like Paul often wrote, therefore, based on what I've said before, therefore. Jesus said to Peter, and the pronoun here is singular. He said to Peter, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom." What in the world does that mean? Did Jesus relinquish ownership of the church to Peter? Did he transfer the deed of the kingdom to Peter? You ought to know the answer is no, but what does it mean? Because when we speak of handing over the keys, we're often talking about ownership. If you go to a car dealership and purchase an automobile, there may be a bit of a ceremony of handing you the keys. Now the car is yours, along with all the payments and the problems. If you purchase a house, there you receive the keys as the owner. You own it, or at least you and the bank do. But this, when Jesus said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom, he was not transferring ownership. He was appointing leadership. In Isaiah 22 and verse 20 through 25, there's similar words that we can use to help us understand what Matthew was writing. This was in a chapter of warning to Jerusalem of a transfer of the stewardship or the leadership of the city because of their unfaithfulness. The steward, the keeper, is not the owner. This one was given a robe and a sash, the uniform of the boss, but he was not the owner. His decisions had to reflect the wishes of the owner. And the same applied to Peter later on. So I'll just read a little bit from Isaiah there, chapter 22, verse 20. "In that day I will summon my servant Eliakim, and son of Hilkiah. I will clothe him with your robe and fasten your sash around him and your hand of authority. Hand your authority over to him. He will be like a father to those who live in Jerusalem and to the people of Judah. I will place on his shoulder the key to the house of David. What he opens, no one can shut. What he shuts, no one can open. I will drive him like a peg into a firm place. He will become a seat of honor for the house of his father. All the glory of his family will hang on him, its offspring, its and offshoots, all its lesser vessels from the bowls to the jars. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, the peg driven into the firm place will give way. It will be sheared off and will fall, and the load hanging on it will be cut down. We see here that man's authority was given by God, but it was temporary. It was controlled by God. God maintained ownership, but handed over the keys of leadership to Eliakim. And as I said, the same holds true for Peter in Matthew 16. He was given the keys of authority to be the first leader of the church. It was an unusual authority, unusual power, but he was not the owner. Peter's main task was to open the door of the kingdom to Gentiles, the nations outside of Israel. He had authority. He was given authority to open the door to Gentiles. In fact, God sent him to do just that. Last week, we talked about how Peter was sent to Caesarea, and he was sent there to lead a Roman centurion named Cornelius and his family and his servants to faith in Christ. And God gave him a vision to prepare him. God told him, I'm sending you over there. Peter saw that God was ordaining that the gospel of Jesus needs to go out to the Gentiles and that Gentiles are welcome in God's kingdom. Gentiles here means everybody outside of Judaism, the nations, the ethnos. Peter was the keeper of the door when God opened that door. Peter was the keeper of the door when God shut the door on Ananias and Sapphira. That event is reported in Acts chapter 5 when Ananias and Sapphira sold some property and tried to lie to the Holy Spirit that they were giving 100% of it back to the Lord, and when in fact they were not, and God took their life. Jesus told Peter, I will give you the keys of my kingdom to carry out my work. On the part of Jesus' instruction in Matthew 16 that says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven, you may have a footnote in your Bible. I hope you do. There's a little grammar lesson in that footnote that's pretty important to our understanding. The form of the Greek verbs here, which translate to bound and loose, are future perfect passive verbs. It most literally means whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. It's awkward to say in English, and it was equally awkward in Greek. And that's all the more reason for an interpreter to pay attention. Not only did Peter have huge authority, he also had huge responsibility. Leadership over the church came with tremendous decisions to make. Someone on earth had to make the hard decisions, like whether or not God includes Roman military officers in his kingdom. Let me ask you this. If you are going to make decisions for the owner of the company, do you want to know how the owner thinks? Do you want to know the limit of his resources? Do you want to know what he allows and does not allow? I think we can say to Peter and to ourselves, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Abide in his word so that we are truly his disciples. Know that truth so that we can act freely and obediently. When we are in touch with the kingdom of God, when we are fixing our eyes on Jesus and we were walking in his spirit, we will make the right decisions that reflect the will of heaven. Jesus said, Peter, Rock, I will give you powerful authority and heavy responsibility. Church, I will give you powerful authority and heavy responsibility. If you follow me obediently, you will make the right decisions. You will choose to do my will, and your actions will reflect my kingdom. Some days it will be so miraculous that you cannot even believe it. Some days it will be so heavy that it scares you, but do not fear, for I am with you. There's a warning in the next verses. Do not try to get out ahead of me and lead me. Stay behind me and follow me. Do not try to uproot the cornerstone and set your own direction. As we look again at Matthew 16, picking up in verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save life must lose it. Whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what they have done. Truly I tell you, some of you who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Peter, you better get behind me. Jesus had a very hard mission ahead of him, and he did not need Peter's temptation. Get behind me and follow. I can imagine Jesus saying, "I've had a lot to deal with. I have to deal with the tempter all the time. When my father was about to set me loose for earthly mission, I had to deal with the tempter for 40 days in the wilderness. Peter, quit acting like Satan." The very leader that he just nicknamed Rock, he then called Satan. If it was hard for the leader of the apostles to understand the mission of the Messiah, how could the world understand? Do not tell people that I'm Messiah. They will eventually have to make that decision for themselves. And that right now they may not be able to handle it. Now lastly, we need to see that the church grew. Leadership had to multiply and diversify. Peter was the leader of the apostles, but they were all meant to lead. Just two chapters over in Matthew 18, we find Jesus using some of the same words, but now the pronoun you is plural. Matthew 18, verse 15 and following. "If your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to even listen to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or tax collector." That means that you treat them like an unbeliever and work to bring them into belief, into submission to the Father. Verse 18, "Truly I tell you, whatever you..." plural, y'all, "whatever y'all bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you, y'all, loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." As I said in verse 18, the pronoun is plural. "Whatever y'all bind on earth will be bound in heaven." All of the apostles were meant to lead the new church, and Peter was leader among them. We find an easy pattern to follow in the book of Acts of the Apostles. Peter was the first leader. He preached the first sermon when the Holy Spirit descended on Jerusalem. He and John were, some days later, healed a man in the power of God at the temple. Peter was the first to open the door to the Gentiles officially when he spoke to Cornelius, and he ended up having to go back to Jerusalem to explain it. And as the church grew and spread out, God brought in other leaders. He diversified and multiplied the leadership of the church. Peter was always the rock, but he was not the owner of the kingdom. Paul and Barnabas became the first international missionaries sent out by a local church. The church at Antioch was their center, not the church at Jerusalem. Even later, young Mark and Timothy became leaders. James, the brother of Jesus, became the leader of the church in Jerusalem later on. By the end of the book of Acts, Peter is one among many leaders. Peter fulfilled his role as the rock, and it has been passed on to multiple leaders. Today, the global church is in the hands of disciples of Jesus, and we are stewards of his kingdom, representatives of him. Some of us have various roles, leadership roles in the church, and yet we all lead someone. Pastors and elders are called, appointed by God if we obey, to lead, to open and close doors under God's authority. We must always follow Jesus Christ as we try to lead various parts of his church. If we get ahead of him, we will eventually fail. We might even trip over the cornerstone. And we know that some building stones roll the wrong way and cause problems. Let that not be us. Let us endeavor to be true to Christ, following his leadership in his spirit. Let me break it down a little further. The family is meant to reflect the church. The family is meant to model the church. Fathers are appointed to lead and guide their families under the authority of Jesus. Fathers, you have the keys to take care of the precious souls on loan to you for a time. Some days you must hold them back, and some days you must let them go. But you must always work to build them up in faith. What happens when men fail to lead their families or are simply unable to do so? Women make it happen. The same thing happens in the church. Jesus said, I will give you the keys of my kingdom. Go, lead. The gates of Hades, death, will not defeat my church. But death is trying. Oh, church, you better know, death is trying and will continue to try. There are battles to fight. But we do not fight with the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we fight with weapons that are designed to demolish strongholds, spiritual weapons. Paul had this same thing in mind when he wrote the conclusion of his Ephesians letter. He said, because of all these things going on, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people. Church, gear up. Gear up. Amen.